If you weren't here when I spoke in the church the last time, I need to give you an explanation why I sit on this stool. I had hip surgery 5 years ago, and in doing the surgery, they damaged the sciatic nerve. And so for the last 5 years, when I have spoken, I have sat on a stool to do it. And I am grateful for congregations that put up with that. And so thank you for the invitation here today. I haven't met your pastor, but I love him, because he told Dick to call me and ask if I'd preach. So I'm very thankful for that. And I want you to tell him how much I appreciate this opportunity of being able to share the Word of God with you today. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to two portions of Scripture with me before I begin to speak. If you'll turn to Psalm 22. The Lord caused Isaiah to write, not this psalm, but he wrote in Isaiah, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. The Word of God needs to be central in our lives and certainly in our church. And I want you to read with me, follow with me as I read Psalm 22. It's almost like reading one of the Gospels. It speaks so much of the Lord. So let's go to Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried and you were and to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to this dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him, and the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you, For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be reconciled of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Do you see the life of the Lord Jesus in that psalm? Do you see so many things that apply to him and to his crucifixion? This psalm is such a great psalm, and particularly at this season of the year as we're coming to Easter, to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. Now I want you to go with me, and I will refer to parts of that in my message. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read verses... I better get to 1 Corinthians first. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, this is the word of God. This is what you have spoken. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us today. So we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds. Let us be able to grasp the truth. And may the Spirit of God cause us to apply those truths to our lives today. Father, we trust in you. Touch us, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some weeks ago, through some circumstance that was happening, I asked myself the question, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? Have you ever asked that question? You're going through some issue in your life, some circumstance, and you ask yourself the question, does Jesus care? Have you ever felt that the heavens were brass and your prayers did not get through? Have you ever felt that God was distant, far away, did not see you, and the sorrow and the pain that you felt? Does Jesus care? Even Jesus felt that way. When the attack of Satan was the worst, you will remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane before his betrayal, he sweat drops of blood. You will remember that on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The heart of Jesus is seen in that cry. He didn't just say it once. He didn't just say, my God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Satan and his host of demons surrounded Jesus on the cross. They were saying to him, why do you suffer like this? Why don't you just get down from the cross and forget those who have put you there? They were just after him in such a terrible way. And he felt the pain and the agony of it. Then God poured on him all the sins of humanity that he might bear them for us. in His own body. He bore our sins on the cross that we might live by His grace. Does Jesus care? Jesus hanging on the cross was saying, Lord, do you care? You have forsaken me. We know that there are times when we feel that God must not care. We feel so alone. Does Jesus care when my life seems so empty? When it seems that I'm a failure? I'm going to tell you something that happened as we came to church today. Walked into the foyer and a brother met us there. And he said, you know, there's just nothing I can do. I just don't feel like I can do anything. He said, all I can do is make coffee. And I said to him, do you know what one of the gifts of the Spirit is? It's helps. Helps. Peggy, my wife, said for years, she didn't know what spiritual gift she had until she read in the Scripture, one of the gifts is the gift of helps. Aren't you blessed by those who have the gift of helps? Who minister in the name of the Lord Jesus? We are blessed by that. Carl Gustlaff, hard name to say, was the first Lutheran missionary to go to China. He died in Hong Kong at age 48, shattered by disappointment. He felt that his life had been wasted. There was so little visible fruit from the time he had spent in China. But what he never knew in his lifetime was that the faithfulness of his life spoke to the heart of Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor went to China because of the witness and testimony of that man. And Hudson Taylor was used of God to open central China to the Lord. What he didn't know was that a man named David Livingstone was impressed by his writings. And David Livingstone went to Africa. And Central Africa was opened up to the gospel because of David Livingstone. So what the missionary did not know, even though he felt his life had been wasted, what he did not know was that there would be thousands of people in heaven because of his faithfulness. Many years ago, I preached a message on the text we have read today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Following the service, a lady came up to me with tears in her eyes to express how God had blessed her that day. Her sister had died young, leaving a family of young children. And this lady had given her life to raise her children, her sister's children. She never got an education that would help her to be involved in business or in education and teaching. She never married, but made the commitment to care for her nieces and nephews and to teach them and train them to bring them to the Savior. She had begun to think that maybe she'd wasted her life. Then as God led me to speak on 1 Corinthians chapter 26, God has not chosen the strong, but the weak. God has not chosen those who seem to have all things, but God has chosen those who give themselves and depend upon Him. You may have heard the story of the missionary who spent his life serving God in Africa. He was returning home. What he did not know was that on the same ship coming back from Africa was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt had gone to Africa to hunt big game, while this missionary had spent his life in Africa winning people to Jesus. When they pulled into the harbor in New York City, there was a huge crowd there Banners were flying. Bands were playing. People were shouting, "Welcome home, Teddy!" And the missionary stood there on the deck of the ship watching it, and he became very discouraged. There was nobody there to welcome him. He'd given his life for Christ in Africa, and nobody seemed to care. Then he said, "God spoke to my heart. God said to me, 'But you're not home yet.'" Teddy's home. You're not home yet. Wait till you come home. The angels of God are going to welcome you. There's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who will welcome you because you gave your life and they accepted Jesus as their Savior. I heard last week, I have a Bible study in one of the churches in Calvary Baptist Church in Wetaskiwin for seniors every Saturday morning. And one of the ladies told about her father who had prayed for children and grandchildren, and he prayed year after year and didn't see the fruit of his prayers. And then this lady said, "My daddy died, but after he died, the children and the grandchildren began to come to Christ." So if we feel today that our life is maybe wasted, if we feel today that we're weak and there's not a whole lot we can do, just depend upon the Lord. Let Him use you. Be faithful in serving Him. Touch the lives of people in Jesus' name. And God will bless you and bless them abundantly. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Don't lose heart. Just keep looking to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Jesus cares. Don't give up. Don't let Satan defeat you. Does Jesus care when I'm suffering? Does Jesus care when my heart is broken at the graveside of a loved one who has died too soon? Does Jesus care when my body is racked with pain and I can find no rest? Does Jesus care when I get the news that I have cancer or that my heart is failing? Frank Graff wrote a song called "Does Jesus Care?" The chorus of it says, "Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Jesus cares." The Gospels are full of instances where Jesus expressed His care, where He healed. Matthew 14:14, "He was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick." Matthew 14:36, "And as many as touched the hem of His garment were made perfectly well." Matthew 20:34, "So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes recovered sight and they followed Him." Matthew 8:2-3, "A leper came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean.'" "Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean." Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Immediately, he was cleansed of the leprosy. Jesus cares. We have diabetes in our family. We have two daughters. One has been a diabetic since she was 5 years old. Another daughter, since she was 15, that daughter is now 68, and she's been a diabetic for all these years. Our son who died in November of 2017 was a diabetic. We've got a grandson who's a diabetic. There have been many laser surgeries on eyes. There have been many heartaches because of the diabetes. I have cried out to him, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal. My dear wife, we've been together for 71 years. December the 3rd, it'll be 72. 72 years we've walked together and served the Lord. My dear wife, a few months ago, developed Parkinson's disease. And I cried out the cry of the leper, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal. And no answer came saying, I'm willing. Then one day, I read Philippians 1:29. I want you to listen carefully to this. Maybe you've got something that's troubling you. It may not be Parkinson's or it may not be diabetes, but it may be something that's troubling you. And I read Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted. Now, think of that word. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but listen, but also to suffer for His sake. Think about that. The suffering is a gift from God. For to you it has been granted not only to believe, but to suffer for Jesus' sake. Now I want to tell you, there are those, and I don't want to offend anybody in this congregation, there are those who have the health and wealth philosophy. And they say if you're sick, must be because of sin in your life. I want to use a Texas phrase, that's hogwash. That's hogwash. What did Paul cry out? He said, I cried out three times to be delivered from the affliction that I had. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, most gladly then will I glory in the affliction. Why? Because through it, Christ will be revealed. He will use the suffering to speak to the heart of those who do not know the Lord. They will see how you as a believer handle this. And if you're griping and complaining and fussing all the time, that's no testimony. But if you have a smile on your face and you're rejoicing in Jesus, that's a testimony of God's grace. And that's why He permits it. That's why He allows it to happen. We should walk in the grace of God so that others will be aware of Him. I don't know what you may have today. I've got a few things. I've got myasthenia gravis. Do you know what myasthenia gravis is? It's a disease of the muscles. I was driving one day and all of a sudden the muscles in my eyelids turned loose and my eyelids dropped down over my eyes and I couldn't see. Peggy was my eyes. Slow down, Jake. Get over to the curb, Jake. She got me back home. Then I went to a specialist, and you've got myasthenia gravis. So I'll be on medication for the rest of my life for that. a disease of the muscles. Then I've got this leg that's dead, and I can't walk very well on it. Somebody asked our son, who is now with the Lord, about that. And he told them, it's not his brains, it's his leg. He can still study, he can still read, he can still preach. And I rejoice in that. I praise God for it. Oh, there are other things. I had a stent put in because of my heart. I got high blood pressure. I take 12 different medications every day. 12 of them. And I want to tell you, I thank God for His grace. And I want to serve Him. And I want to be a witness and a testimony for Him. I want God to be glorified in my life. I mean, He can use my myasthenia gravis and high blood pressure and a heart problem and all those things. If He can use it to be a blessing through me to others, praise God. Bless the Lord. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says that he is in chains in a Roman dungeon for the sake of Christ. Think about that. I'm here in chains for the sake of Christ. Much of the New Testament was written while Paul was being persecuted in a dungeon. Peggy and I, a few years ago, were in Rome. They took us to the dungeon where Paul was. Dark. Low ceiling. And there Paul was in chains. I am in chains for the sake of Christ. The suffering of being a prisoner, of being in chains, should not hinder the gospel message. In 2 Timothy 2:9, he said that he was chained because of his preaching of the Word of God. Then he added this important statement. Now listen to this. But the Word of God is not chained. I'm here, and I'm in chains. But the Word of God is not chained. Now listen, you may be chained today by some affliction. Something may be happening in your life. Something may be going on. And you may be chained in that, but the Word of God is not chained. It can go forth out of your life. And we bless God for that. It is only chained as we allow the suffering to overcome us. I read this statement recently. Think about it. Now I want you to think. We don't think a whole lot of time. Think. David looked at Goliath in the light of God. He did not look at God in the light of Goliath. He looked at Goliath in the light of God. He did not look at Goliath. He did not look at God in the light of Goliath. He didn't look at Goliath and say, "Whoo, that's a giant and nobody can conquer him." He looked at Goliath and said, "You're dead." He looked at Goliath in the light of God. Now look at whatever the Goliath is in your life in the light of God. Don't look at it as something God can't handle. God can do it. God can do it. The song, "God Leads His Dear Children Along," has this message. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Amen. God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Does Jesus care about the millions who will spend eternity in hell? Does Jesus care? There are those who doubt the love of God. They will say, "How could God send a man to hell?" How could God send a person? God is love. How could God send a person to hell? And I want to remind you this. Hell was not created for man, but for Satan and his angels. Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. C.S. Lewis summed it up this way, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Now listen, only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, thy will be done. We can say to God today, thy will be done. Or we can disobey him and walk with Satan, and God in the end will say, okay, thy will be done. This is what you have chosen. God will only execute the choice of the individual. If they choose to follow Satan in this life, then they will share his destiny for all of eternity. But God will have no pleasure in seeing this happen. From Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse, and you've got to understand Genesis 3:15 to understand the rest of the Bible, because in Genesis 3:15, God said he would send one who would crush the head of the serpent. But the serpent would attack his heel. He was talking about the Savior. He was talking about the Messiah. So from Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse, to the last verse of the book of Revelation, the purpose of God is that man might be delivered from Satan's power. That man might not spend eternity with Satan. But God provided the means of redemption. Ezekiel 33:11 is a classic expression of the love of God and his sorrow when man rejects him. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn, turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. Why should you die? Why? Why should anybody go to hell when Jesus died on the cross to deliver us? Why? If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you that God loves you. And he sent Jesus to die for you. And he wants you to be saved. In John 19:1-3, we read about what happened to Jesus. He was beaten with a whip that had lead on the tips of the lash, so they would cut into his body. The soldiers made a crown for his head out of thorns. And every time I see an artist's conception of that crown of thorns, the thorns are long and sharp pointed, and I think of what I grew up with in Texas, the locust tree. And the locust tree had thorns like that. And every time I see that picture, I think of the pain that Jesus endured as that crown of thorns was pressed down on his head until the blood flowed down his cheeks. In 19:6 and 15, Jesus hears the cry of the crowd. The very people he is giving his life to save, crucify him, crucify him. And they walk past him and they slap his face. And they pull the beard of his face. Listen, he endured that for you and for me. In John 19:17-18, they stripped him, laid him on the cross, took spikes and drove them into his hands and feet to hold him to the cross. Then they picked up the cross and dropped it into a hole. Can you imagine? He's laying flat out on that cross. And his hands are held by spikes and his feet are held by spikes. And then they pick that cross up, those Roman soldiers, and they drop it into a hole. And the tearing of the flesh, the agony of it, the agony of it. Chapter 19, 34, following his death, one of the soldiers shoved a spear into his side. And you remember Thomas said, I will not believe unless I can feel the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. And Jesus said, Thomas, do it. Feel it. Did you know there's only going to be one person in heaven who has the marks upon their body? And that's Jesus. We're going to worship Jesus for all eternity, and we're going to see him with the crown thorns and the spike marks in his hands and feet. Every one of the rest of us are going to have a glorified body, and all the evidences of the pain of this life are going to be gone, but not Jesus. He's going to be there with the marks on him for all eternity. Dare we ask, does Jesus care? Dare we ask, does God care? He is God's gift to us that we might be saved. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner for whom he gave his life. We must open our hearts to him. And many of us in this congregation can say, I have. Maybe all of us, I don't know. But I can go in my mind to the East Sherman Baptist Church in Sherman, Texas. When I was an 11-year-old boy, hearing God speak to me, standing beside my mother, twisting and turning, and she knew I was under conviction. She put her arm on my shoulder and she said, son, would you like to receive Christ? And I said, yes. So as an 11-year-old boy, I was born again. And then, I didn't know it, but when I was born, my mama prayed, Lord, if you give me a son, make him a preacher. I didn't know that. I didn't know it until after I had surrendered my life and was a preacher. And she told me that God had answered her prayer from the day I was born. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, he's standing at the door knocking. And you've got to open the door. And you've got to invite him in. Have you done that? Have you done that? If not, why not today? Why not now? Why not pray the sinner's prayer? God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I receive Jesus as my Savior. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. When Jesus was born, there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. And people today still say there's no room for Jesus in their life. Are you one of those? Or will you accept Christ and know him and know that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he'll receive us one day? I stood beside my mama's bed as she died, and we sang her favorite hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Amazing Grace. And as mama breathed her last, I prayed with her. And I said, Mama, have a safe journey to Jesus. Will others be able to pray that and say that about you? I hope so. I trust so. Father, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for the Word of God, which is the power of God. And Father, your Word speaks to hearts. And I pray that everyone in this congregation today may know the truth of Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that can say, I've never sinned. We all are sinners. And then, Father, to know that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us. And I pray that there may be those here today, if they do not know Jesus, they will pray that prayer that never fails. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Bless this congregation. I thank you for them. And I thank you for the blessing and joy that they give to me to be able to come and share the Word of God with them. Go with us, Father. In the name of Jesus, go with us. Empower us. And may we go to represent you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.